Let's pray. Lord, help us as we get started on the sin offering, that we would be able to categorize it in our minds and fit it in a little better. And Lord, teach us what you want us to know. And Lord, it's pretty stark and rigid when we get to know what your view of sin is. And I pray that you just give us again focus for the few minutes we have together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You see all the text on the front of your sheet? I think God has a sense of humor when it comes to this, in a sense, because there is so much. Our goal, does everyone have notes? Dory, you got notes? Our goal is to figure out who, what, and how. And next week we're going to talk about more of the why. Okay? So we're going to chew through this. We will not touch chapter 5 or chapter... Well, we might touch chapter 6 a little bit, but it's mostly chapter 4 today. Okay? Okay. Let's do this here. You have a chart. I know it looks big. It isn't that hard, but there's a lot of text there. And it is actually pretty... detailed. As you can see, there's four columns, so there's four groups of people. Okay, so that's what we're going to go through. We're going to go through Leviticus 4, 3 through 12 first, so we're going to fill out the first column first. Okay, so we're working down before we work across. Okay, so Leviticus 4, I'll start at verse 1, and I'll read through this passage through verse 12, and then we'll come back and answer the questions. Okay. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a person sins unintentionally against any of the commandments of the Lord in anything which ought not to be done, and does any of them, if the anointed priest sins, bringing guilt on the people, then let him offer to the Lord for his sin which he has sinned a young bull without blemish as a sin offering. He shall bring the bull to the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord, lay his hand on the bull's head, and kill the bull before the Lord. Then the anointed priest shall take some of the bull's blood and bring it to the tabernacle of meeting. The priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle some of the blood seven times before the Lord in front of the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of meeting. And he shall pour the remaining blood of the bull at the base of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. He shall take it from it all of the fat of the bull as the sin offering, the fat that covers the entrails, and all the fat which is on the entrails, the two kidneys and the fat that is on them by the flanks, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys, he shall remove. As it was taken from the bull of the sacrifice of the peace offering, and the priest shall burn them on the altar of the burnt offering. But the bull's hide and all its flesh, with its head and legs, its entrails and offal, the whole bull he shall carry outside of the camp to a clean place where the ashes are poured out, and burn it on wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out, it shall be burned." Okay? So let's start out here. Who is the guilty party of this one here? So we have guilty here. Who's guilty? And then we have the type of sin, the type of animal, what's done with the blood, and what's done with the body or the carcass, okay? Who are we talking about here first? Yeah. Isn't that interesting? The priest could sin, huh? So the guilty party here is the priest. I'm drawing some lines here to... All right. The guilty party is the priest. What is the sin? Someone said.
No. Unintentional.
By the way, I think that. Well, I'll just put it here for now.
Unintentional.
We'll talk about that more this week, but probably more next week yet. What did he have to sacrifice? By the way, there was no second option here. There's no if this, this, or this, right? Like the other offerings. What did he have to sacrifice? Okay. And what was done with the blood? Remember what was done with the blood before, with the other offerings. Sprinkled on the brazen altar, remember? What's done with the blood here? Okay, which was done before. What's he sprinkle it on or around? Yeah, listen, this is different because everything else happened around the brazen altar for the other stuff. This, they actually go in. Remember the tabernacle? You have the outside court, and then you have the inside Holy of Holies, and then the holy place here. The brazen altar is here. The laver, right? Inside is the table of showbread, the candle, the altar of incense is somewhere around here, okay? As they walk in, the priest actually takes some of the blood and walks into the holy place, not the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant is, and he sprinkles some on the curtain, the veil. That's never been done. Till now. And then he also sprinkles it on the horns. Remember the laver, not the laver, the altar of incense was square. It was rather small, I think about 3 foot square, and it had horns on it, right? Same as the brazen altar, it had horns. Those are kind of significant over time. But so he sprinkles it on the four corners, and then he comes back out and then dumps the rest alongside the brazen altar. Okay? So the blood is sprinkled on the in front of the veil on the altar of incense. And then poured out the rest out by the brazen altar, the bronze altar, right? So it's a little different than what we've seen. Okay? What's done with the rest? What's done with the parts of the body? I guess we could say that. What's burned? What is burned? You can look back in the text, right? You have it in front of you. What did they burn? That's true. What they burn on the altar. That's good. Burn on the altar. And I'm going to make it easy. Starting in verse 8, at the beginning of verse 8, it's all the fat. So it's fat, and then they fat and kidneys on the altar. That's what they burn on the brazen, this brazen altar over here. Okay?
Fat attached to the liver.
Yeah, all the fat. Yeah, so it goes through and says this fat and this fat and this fat and this fat, but the fat in the digestive area.
Okay. This is called, I think you said, lobe of the liver.
Is what?
The lobe of the liver is also
burned. Oh, is it part of the?
Yeah. Verse
9. Yeah, but as I read it, it seems to be the fat lobe that's attached to the liver, not the liver itself. Yeah. So I just put fat because it did. It says this fat and this fat and this fat and this fat. It describes several different fats. This fat here, this fat here, this fat here, this fat here. Okay, so it breaks it down in detail with fat. It goes. There's a list of like five or six different fats, right? Fat areas. So that's burned on the altar. Okay. And then Chanari said, the rest of the entire animal is taken outside the camp. And it looks like it's the offerer that does this. Because it says he or the priest. It seems throughout here it says the priest. If it means the priest, it says the priest. Otherwise, it's he, the one who offered it. He takes it outside to the place, a clean place where they burn, dump ashes and all that. And he burns the entire rest of the animal. Hide. And the whole carcass. Nothing, right, is left. So the hide and body are burned outside the camp. In their entirety. One guy said, can you imagine how expensive it would be to be a Jew? We'll talk about this a little more next week because we just won't have time to cover the detail. And there's all kinds of ramifications to all this. But you had to do this the moment you knew you had sinned. And what kind of sin was it? Unintentional. Okay. Let's look at the next one here, okay? So far, so good. You got that? Again, this is just laying the foundation because we're going to more detail as to the why next week. We just simply cannot cover all that's here. Okay, starting with verse 13. If you look there, I'll read. Now, if the whole congregation of Israel sins unintentionally. So let's just break that down here. Who is the guilty? Yeah, the whole congregation. How does the whole congregation do sin? They did something, but they didn't know it was unintentional, right? Did you get that? It's the whole congregation of Israel, the whole nation, if you will. Okay. The thing is hidden from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done something against any of the commandments of the Lord and anything which should not be done and are guilty. When the sin which they have committed becomes known, then the assembly shall offer a young bull for the sin. So what do they offer? Okay, it looks pretty consistent so far, okay? They'll bring it to the tabernacle meeting, and the elders of the congregation, so they're the leaders of the nation, if you will, shall lay their hands on the head of the bull before the Lord. Then the bull shall be killed before the Lord. The anointed priest shall bring some of the bull's blood to the tabernacle of meeting. The priest shall dip his finger on the blood and sprinkle it seven times before the Lord in front of the veil. And he shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar which is before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of meeting, which again would be the altar of incense. And he shall pour the remaining blood at the base of the altar of burnt offering. So, this is like before the, in front of, right? And I don't know if it gets on it or on the floor or what. But same thing. They sprinkle it before the veil. All on the altar of incense. And then they pour out the rest. I call it the brazen altar, but it's because it's made of brass or bronze. the bronze altar, but that I grew up hearing about the brazen altar of them. Okay? So far, this isn't that hard, right? We got the first one, and the second one so far is just like it. Verse 19, this goes to 21. Verse 19, he shall take all the fat from it and burn it on the altar, and he shall do with the bull as he did with the bull as a sin offering, thus he shall do with it. So what's true of this is true here. Okay? So the fat's burned on the brazen altar, the altar of burnt offering, and the body is burned outside the camp. So the priest shall make atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. We're going to come back to that next week. But we're hearing phrases that we've never heard up to this point in Leviticus with regard to the offerings, the sacrifices. Verse 21, then he shall carry the bull outside the camp and burn it as he burned the first bull. It is a sin offering for the assembly. Okay? So the exact same thing happens with the priest or with the whole congregation. So far, so good? So this is the same.
If it was unintentional sin, they would have to burn all the time.
Well, yeah, what about intentional sin? You ever done something knowing you were doing wrong? I mean, have you read about somebody that knew that they were doing wrong? Well, I'm not asking you to confess anything here, right? Okay. We're at verse 22. We'll come back to this in more detail next week, the unintentional part. But I tell you what, when we get into the sin offering, you're going to be like, God really hates it. Okay, in a way that you hadn't really thought about before. Okay? To the extent, maybe. Verse 22. I'm looking for it here. Who made these so small anyway? When a ruler has sinned and done something unintentionally against any of the commandments of the Lord. So let's fill out the first two. Who's the guilty party? A ruler. You know, is it just the king, or is it the mayor? Is it the, you know, I don't know. Yeah, well, and I'm saying, I'm assuming that it's not just the ruler, but a ruler, right?
I think in this regard, it's the person who's the head of the house, head of the tribe, of the family. It's a ruler.
On what basis do you say that? Well, I'm just saying the text doesn't say that. So I'm saying it doesn't define who ruler is. So I'm assuming it's probably anyone in a position of influence.
Authority.
Which has, you know, you have more accountability when you're in charge of somebody, yes?
They were more of a community. Each tribe was its own community. Each tribe had its head.
Yep, it's elders and all of that,
right.
Yeah.
And like, all right, your family, you have four sons. Each one of them, if they're married...
I have six sons,
six,
but who's counting?
Well, yeah, but I'm talking four sons who are...
Oh, yeah.
Four sons who are of, I'm going to say accountable, but they marrying age or in that sense. And they, if they had a family, they would be a ruler of their family. And it was like a pyramid type of thing.
Yeah, don't tell Daniel he's of marrying age, but I'm okay. I get the point.
I'll tell him when I get done. You understand?
Yeah, no, but the idea, I'm not trying to overkill this, but the idea is that a ruler has a different responsibility than even somebody else. So, okay? And it was unintentional again.
Unintentional.
This is... What about intentional? Okay.
Later.
Have you ever sped and known you were speeding? Isn't that an intentional sin? You're doing it anyway?
Yeah.
You know it? Huh? All right, 20. Where are we at? 22 still. I should mark these, huh? Against any of the commandments of the Lord his God, and anything that should be not be done and is guilty. By the way, the word guilty keeps coming up in these offerings. Or if his sin which he has committed comes to his knowledge, he shall bring as his offering a kid of the goats, a male without blemish. So what's he bring?
Goat.
Young male goat. I'm putting it up here because there's a little bit of option in here, some of these anyway. And he shall lay his hand on the head of the goat and kill it at the place where they kill the burnt offering before the Lord. It is a sin offering. The priest shall take some of the blood of the offering with his finger, put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and pour its blood at the base of the altar of burnt offering. What's different? Yeah, it's sprinkled not. These are the altar of incense here and the veil. This is how does it say here? The altar of burnt offering. That's where they burn them. Right? So this is kind of what the others were before. Okay, so this, and this is also called the brazen altar, the bronze altar. And it's this one that's at the beginning of it. Here's the entrance, and the first thing you see is that brazen altar. Right? So the priest doesn't go in here just for the anointed priest or the whole congregation. The others are handled right here at the altar. He shall burn all its fat on the altar. Like the fat of the sacrifice of the peace offering. So you have to refer back to the peace offering. But the fat, okay. So the priest shall make atonement for him concerning his sin, and it shall be forgiven. Okay? What's left? Anything but the fat, right? Help me out here. And the blood. All right? Who gets that? It doesn't say here. It does say a little bit farther down. So I'm going to give you a hint right now. Because I was kind of confused at first because I was reading. It's like, it says they can eat it. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Eat what? Ashes? What are they going to eat? Well, these two get wholly burned up. The first two, the young bulls. These do not. The ones coming up here. So the fat of the goat, priest gets the rest. Okay? By the way, it'll define it more in later, but only males that are holy and sanctified can eat of it, and they have to eat it in the tabernacle area. It really depends on the offering. Remember the peace offering, everyone could eat it. It was like almost a banquet. Right? So anyone, as long as they were holy or whatever, they weren't.
How much fat would be on a goat?
I have no idea. I've never gutted a goat.
Not much.
Have you gutted a goat?
I haven't gutted, but they're not much.
I've seen some pretty fat goats.
I milked a goat.
There you go. I believe you. Pardon me. It's farther down. In chapter 6 at the very bottom of your notes down here. So we haven't read it. That's why I have it in parentheses right now. So I'm like reading it. And it's like, what are they eating? So I had to go back and I was like, oh, it doesn't say that they're burning the bodies for these. It does for these first two. They burn them in their entirety. but they don't do it for the next ones. Okay? So, yeah, because I had to backtrack. It's like, what are they eating? Ash burgers? You know? So, no, it wasn't. So, 27. By the way, I don't cook ash burgers. I'm pretty good on the grill. I'm just not allowed in the kitchen, that's all. Verse 27. If anyone of the common people sins.
Kevin, can I ask a question?
Yes. Yes.
Is that a blessing?
No, it's identifying with the sacrifice.
Oh, okay.
If you will, saying, this is my guilt being laid on him, kind of.
Okay.
It's my substitute.
So it's the person who has sinned that is doing that, like the priest and the...
The person who is sinning puts their hand on it, and they also are the one that kills the animal.
Okay.
The one that deserves death.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it would be, it's a lot different than asking for, or confessing our sins, isn't it? Wouldn't that be different if you had to kill an animal every time? Wouldn't that add weight to your actions? It's like how bad it is that an animal has to die. Wouldn't that just kind of bring it up over and over?
I think when we go through this stuff, we don't realize that the importance of identifying ourselves with the sin that we've committed, putting our hands on the animal. This animal's going to die in my place. And, you know, that it's identifying with
yeah.
death, because, that, you know, it's like, why did Christ die on the cross? He did it for us.
Right.
He identified himself with us.
And they had to do it over and over and over again. I mean, it's just like, and yet, we know our own hearts, right? But yet, how quickly they moved away from God over and over again.
It became a ritual.
Well, it probably became a ritual, but probably too, it's like, you know what? That really wasn't a sin. You know, that, why offer a goat? That's money. It wasn't really a sin. Besides, he deserved it. But, you know, you start justifying your sin. All of a sudden, you're not walking with God at all. You're not acknowledging your sin. Right.
How many times a day did this happen?
I don't know. Can you imagine how big, you know, a nation the size of, that populated the size of Iowa, if everyone had to offer offerings because of their sin? It would be just ongoing crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. There would be a lot of killing there. Okay, let's finish this out for today. Verse 27 again. It says here, if anyone of the common people sins. So the guilty is the common people. So in other words, a common person is not a ruler. That's the only thing it's saying. You're not less, you're just not in a position of responsibility. Okay. So if anyone of the common people, and there's a little bit of leeway here too on this, if anyone of the common people sins unintentionally, there seems to be a common theme here. Unintentional. I didn't know. All right. Verse 28, or if his sin which he committed comes to now, excuse me, then he shall bring as his offering a kid of the goats. What? Interesting that this is the first time, I think. Was there a female allowed earlier? Female goat. Again, all these are without blemish. So that goes, that's been consistent throughout all of the offering sacrifices. and he shall lay his hand on the head of the sin offering, kill the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering. Then the priest shall take some of its blood, with his finger put the horns on the altar of burnt offering. So this is the same thing. Altar of burnt offering is where the blood goes again. So just in the same place where the rest of the offerings that we've covered before the get taken care of here, right? Maybe it levitates him off the ground and gets better gas mileage or something. He shall remove all its fat as fat is removed from the sacrifice of the peace offering, and the priest shall burn it on the altar. And by the way, this is the only one that says for a sweet aroma to the Lord, which you normally don't see that. So the fat, all fat, again, as described in the peace offering. Which fat? The fat described in the peace offering. And the priest shall burn it, so the priest shall make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. Now notice here, if he brings a lamb, he could also bring then a young female lamb. Okay? A female without blemish, that's verse 32. Then he shall lay his hand on the head of the sin offering, kill it as a sin offering at the place where they kill a burnt offering. The priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and pour all the remaining blood at the base of the altar. So again, the same thing as we mentioned, same thing regardless of whether it's a lamb or a goat. So he removes the fat of the lamb just like before. The priest shall burn it on the altar according to the offerings made by fire to the Lord. So the priest shall make an atonement for his sin that he has committed, and it shall be forgiven him. Now we're going to actually talk about chapter 5. There's 13 verses that maybe are a little clarifying, but also a little confusing. We're going to talk about those next week as well. So again, it doesn't say what happens to the rest of the lamb or the goat here, but later on in chapter 6, it's basically the priest can eat that. Well, there's nothing left for the priest offering the young bull here or the whole congregation, but there is whatever's left with the young male goat for the ruler or the young female goat or lamb for the common people. The priest gets that as well. Is this not tedious? You thought it was hard to just get up and come to church, didn't you, once a week? How'd you have to do this throughout the week when you sin unintentionally? You find out, it's like, oh no, I'm over the speed limit. I didn't realize it. That's like giving yourself a ticket. And you'll sacrifice or whatever. Obviously, there were speed limits back then. They didn't have to worry about breakneck speeds on a walking on the ground or whatever. But there were all kinds of detail laws. What if you ate something and you realized later it was on the list of things you couldn't eat? Any of the commands of the Lord. We're going to talk about that in detail next week. God thinks it's a big deal to break any of his commands. And you would too if you had to sacrifice some of your income via through one of the young female goat or lamb every time you sin. That would make you a little more aware, wouldn't it? You take the name of the Lord in vain. That's actually in the next 13 verses of chapter 5. It brings that up. You hear an oath or swear by God's name. That would probably make people think twice before they talk, wouldn't it? It would get very expensive. By the way, this doesn't take away sin. It just helps you see that you are a sinner, right? ultimately, it's forgiven you. But the problem is, it doesn't eliminate sin, and you'll be back, right? See you again soon, priest. So, it would be very expensive to follow in this economy of sorts, this religious economy. And one of the commentaries I looked at said that no wonder God said that you had to bless them, because they would be spending a lot of effort. And by the way, believe it or not, the priest's entire income was based upon these offerings. And you're like, how could they survive? How could they survive? And you're like, after you start reading this, it's like, man, what do they do with all the meat?
Yeah.
Right? You know, this entire tribe, they're surviving on the food. That's what's remaining in the sacrifice. That's what they get. I think there's monetary offerings too, but
when you get the numbers, you can see the number of people that are in each tribe when they identify how many are in each tribe, and you realize when it comes to Levi and see how large Levi is, you'll say, oh.
Well, that's a lot of people, because it's the same size tribe as everybody else. Yeah, you just have to feed them and all that. Now, they get lands to farm and stuff around some of the cities and stuff, but they didn't get any territory, right? So, yeah, that would be huge. And one of the tragedies that would happen in Israel, as people started not walking with God, the priests would not get taken care of, right? So then they wouldn't have any money to maintain the tabernacle, do all the stuff and all that, and that would be one of the huge things that they'd have to keep coming back. People who aren't walking with God get very selfish, right? And if they don't care if they sin or not, they're not going to be bringing an offering either. They're going to justify their sin in some way, right? Besides, I can't afford it. It's like, you don't understand. It's not a choice. Yeah. So pretty big deal. So yeah, it was a different way of living back then, and it's there for a reason. In many ways, as we'll look at next week, of the why, both immediately for them, but also for us. There's huge benefits to having to go through this for them, but also what it pictures for us. So we're going to hit both of those next week. So. Any questions? Yep, and they didn't really see that completely from their angle, but we certainly can. And we don't have to kill stuff, right? Well, but I mean, we just go to the store and buy something. You know, we don't have to see the butchering process or whatever. This wasn't to eat mostly. It was just, you didn't get much out of this except for the peace offering, remember? Otherwise, you were losing money every time you sinned. You had to. Yeah. And it wasn't cheap. It was like part of your livestock. You don't just get livestock instantly.
It's prime livestock as well.
Prime livestock. And if you didn't have it, guess what? You got to go buy one so that you can offer what you need to. Yeah. So, anyway. Good start. We got a ways to go. This overwhelmed me. I told Jane, it's like, this is not easy at all. It's extremely complicated. So even when we get in the next several verses in chapter 5, it's like, oh, if you do this, if you do this, if you do this, it's like, man alive, you'd have to memorize the Old Testament just so you made sure you weren't breaking laws or whatever. So, well, there's someone was saying there's like over 600 laws given in the law. It's in the teens. I had heard 613, but can you imagine keeping track of 613 or 618 or whatever?
And this is the word of the law shall be as frontlets on your head. So the importance of memorizing scripture.
And we'll talk about that next week. It's like, why was there so many petty laws? You shall not boil a goat in its mother's milk. What if you didn't know and then you thought, that's an expensive meal? Because you violated a law of God. Any law. Yeah, we'll talk more about it next week. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, this is really foreign to us as we get into this, not the part about being a sinner, but Lord, how much it cost them because of their sin. And Lord, I think we must have to miss it from our angle, because nothing happens when we sin. We don't see anything sacrificed. We don't see the immediate effects of it like they would have had to do once they discovered sin. And Lord, we haven't talked about intentional sin at all either. And Lord, we know we are guilty at times of that as well. So help us, Lord, to be teachable, and Lord, to grow and change from what we study in Leviticus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.